No seminarians and deaconess students, the abomination of desolation is not your study space as you roar out of control into these last weeks of the fall quarter and as all things degenerate into chaos. No pastors and organists, it is not the worship planning efforts for Advent that are already behind and in some cases not even started. No, professors, it is not the fact that you just gave the first exam of the quarter yesterday during the ninth week of a 10-week quarter. No doubt many of us are ready to flee to the hills at this muddled point in the church and academic years. It might be a relief to escape. But the abomination of desolation is none of these things. How do we know? Because a greater tribulation, even than these, is imminent. That's right. Things could easily get worse. As difficult as that is for us to understand, when we're in the midst of challenges and distressing events, the word of the Lord to us is that things could get, will get, worse. Our problem is that we think our problems are the worst problems that any human beings have ever faced. We are parochial beings. It is a basic human trait that we see our times and our circumstances as the most pressing, the most difficult times, things never seen before in the history of the church. This is the time we know, the only time we know. And no matter how much history we study, we remain chronologically and experientially detached from the events and incidents of those who have gone before us. In a sense, we cannot help but think that our time, our place, our experience is normative for all times and for all places. That's just the way it is. However, our inherent parochialism can lead to a kind of reversed triumphalism. That is to say, while it is sometimes easy for us to fall into a triumphalistic assertion that our synod, our congregation, our seminary is the best expression of Christianity ever in the history of the world, perhaps the only one, when things get tough, we can fall into another temptation. I'll call it catastrophism. The church has never experienced this kind of horror, plague, collapse like we face now. This is it. The end is upon us. We must flee. Flee to the hills of Judea. Get out before it's too late, or you will all be destroyed. It is all too easy for us to conclude that our moment is the moment Jesus meant. Catastrophism is as dangerous as triumphalism. In both cases, we human beings set the terms of the debate. We ourselves define the boundaries and then make demands on how all should respond. And should others not respond how we insist they should, then they are rejecting the clear prophetic word. Again, the parameters of it are easily set. The proper response is the response I demand. Let's run out into the wilderness, because that's the only place where the Lord is to be found. He's no longer here with us. He's there, not here. And there is anywhere but here. The Lord speaks. Do not believe it. I have told you beforehand, these things will come to pass. And sure enough, for every generation, challenges and problems arise. The challenges are genuine, and they force us to come to grips with the evil that makes itself so evident in the world. But the Lord is here to comfort us. I have told you beforehand. So don't go running around desperately trying to save yourself. I've told you beforehand, so that when the issues arise and confront you, you can return to my unshakable word. I told you about the tribulation that will come so that you can stay focused on that which endures. After all, where do you see the abomination of desolation? What is that moment when all things come apart and despair and anguish are tangible and unmistakable? When is that great tribulation such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now? Matthew 27:46. My God, why have you forsaken me? At that moment, at that point, Christ, who became Maximus Peccator, the greatest sinner for us, carried all God's wrath. In the presence of the Holy God, he became the most abominable sinner in our place. But his death cut the days short. Were it not so, no human being could be saved. Because it is so, humankind is ransomed. If it were not for his great tribulation, we would despair, running about all the time, trying to find him, always chasing rumors. But now that the great tribulation is fulfilled, we flee to the mountains, indeed, to Judea's Mount Calvary, where he died in our place, clinging only to that. For us, the great tribulation, then, is no and never will be, for he has endured all things for us. He is the greatest sinner, so that you and I are the greatest saints. Where is Christ? Is he here in the wilderness or there in the inner rooms? How do we know? Look for signs and wonders? Our good and gracious Lord gives us the simple answer. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. He puts it this way two chapters later. Take, eat. This is my body. Wherever Christ is present, we who are dependent on him for life gather and feed upon him. And gathering in his name, he offers the feast of word and sacrament. We know he is here precisely where he has promised to be. Not over there, but in our midst. Not there he is, but here he is. In word, water, meal. For many of you, perhaps this quarter, this fall, this year, this life has been very difficult. Some of us who are in the academic cycle may find that in 12 to 15 weeks that this, in fact, was the easy quarter of this year. Who knows? What we do know, however, is that wherever the body is, there the eagles will gather. Christ remains present with his people. We gather around his body and blood and continue to feast on him. The cares of the world surround us and threaten to ensnare us. The word of the Lord is this: for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. They are indeed in Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.